a whole lot more tonight. I was in a singing mood. Sometimes you got it and sometimes you don't. I started out the other night on God Bless the USA, way up in a real high key, that I had sung that song in that key before, but it was not going to work that day. So I don't know what the difference is on that, but I guess it's just everything vocally and everything that goes on with that. But it's always good to be able to just find joy in singing. I find a lot of joy in singing and just being a part of what God is doing. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Mark chapter number 6. This evening's message is going to be a little bit different. I don't know that it's going to be real preachy. I never know. I never know how a message is going to come out. Sometimes God wants us to just sit and listen and hear what the Word of God says. Other times it's real boisterous and very evangelistic, or whatever the case may be. Different people have different gifts and callings. I know Brother Scott, I've always compared and said Brother Scott is a called teacher. He has that gift of teaching. And I know that mine is the gift of being a pastor and an evangelist, and God let me do both. I started out just wanting to be an evangelist. That's all I wanted to be. I didn't want nothing to do with the pastor role. But all along my teen years, I did not know what God was doing, but He was giving me a heart for people. And I got my heart for people sitting around widow women's tables, eating peanut butter sandwiches and drinking orange pop, mowing their yards. That's where I got my heart for the elderly and my heart for ministry, and I didn't even know that was happening. Where would I be? Let me visit with you for just a minute. My mom's probably watching. She was not in the room last week, so she don't know this. I went up last Tuesday and seen my dad. So I run up there real quick and took a chair to him and got it in the house. And he and I were sitting, and mom wasn't there at the moment, or she's back in the back of the house. So he and I just sat there and talked for a minute. And part of our conversation was, I just thank God that He got a hold of my heart at a young age. And I was talking to Daddy. And for those of you that may not know, my dad was an alcoholic when I was a kid. He's been quit now in over 30 years and been saved since 2006. So I give credit, just in case I get lost on the camera right there, my mom won't think I didn't finish the story. So I was talking to my dad about what God's done for him. And then I said, I thank God for what He's done for me. And then I pointed to my left of my mom's living room, where when we were teenagers, a man lived down there that was a bootlegger. Not only was he a bootlegger, but he let people come into his house and rent rooms and do things they shouldn't be doing and other things, and bring drugs in and cocaine and all that kind of mess. And I told my daddy, I said, that was the worst influence on this neighborhood as a kid when I was a kid. I said, the things that happened right down there. And I said, I could have become an alcoholic. And I told him the story of the bottle of tequila that was passing around. And I started to put it to my lips, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, is this what you want to be the rest of your life? I told Daddy, I said, I didn't know the voice of the Holy Ghost. I mean, this is a man I used to be afraid of, and a man that I would never mention Jesus to. I'm sitting there having a Jesus conversation with my dad. And he said, well, son, he said, God just had other plans for you, didn't He? I said, sure did. Then he said, best choice I ever made, son. I said, I remember you calling me, Daddy. It was September the 23rd, 2006. I said, and God changed your life then, didn't He? Yeah, He did. He said, and it's been different ever since, too. I've held on to Him. And so, you know, that trip all the way to Haywood County last week on Tuesday just gave me the opportunity to sit there with my dad a minute, because I'm not afraid of him. I respect him and honor him, but I'm not afraid to have a conversation with him now. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for what He's doing. And I appreciate your indulging my conversation there and testimony for just a moment. Amen. Well, when I left here on Sunday, I thought I was going to preach this message this coming Sunday. Matter of fact, I even witnessed to someone on Monday, and I said, "Dear, I already know what I'm going to preach next week." And so that changed. So Monday, I pondered on that, and I thought, yeah, I got to get something for Wednesday night. And it's like the Lord said, "I've already given it to you. Why are you going to wait till Sunday when I've already given it to you? What are you waiting on?" So I went right back to the Mark chapter 6. And then we're going to kind of pick up out of chapter 5. You can go back there, and we were reading that. And CJ, I'm going to have to ask you, brother, to turn these lights on right there above my head, because I can't see good enough with my eyeballs in this dark shadow. There we go. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 6. I want to talk to you tonight for the next little bit. I won't be real long, probably, most likely, about Jesus' mission here on the earth, the mission of the Master. Jesus had a mission. And this mission can be seen through this scripture and what we're going to talk about for just a little while this evening. So in Mark chapter number 6, there's 13 verses of scripture, and I want to take the time to read all 13 of those in your hearing this evening. "And he went out from thence and came into his own country," being what? Where was that? Nazareth. "And his disciples followed him, and when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him? What even such mighty works he wrought by his hands?'" The question comes up in verse number 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. Family, they were offended at Jesus because of Jesus' teaching, because of what Jesus was doing. And in verse number 4, "And Jesus said unto them, 'A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And they went round about the villages teaching." And he went round about the villages teaching. Verse number 7. "And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and command them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. But he shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, 'In what place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment from that city.'" Verse 12. "And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them." Now, I want to talk to you a little bit this afternoon about what Jesus came to do. So in verse number 1, again, when we begin to look at this, the scripture is not only seen here in the book of Mark, but Matthew actually mentions it, and we're not going to turn there, just give you a reference. Matthew 13, 53 through 58 is also the Matthew's recording of this event. In Luke chapter number 4, we're not going to turn there and look at it either, 16 through 41, you can look there, and this is where Jesus took the scroll, and he went there and he began to read the book of Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he began to preach, and he handed the scripture back to the priest, and they were so astonished at what Jesus was saying. But yet when we begin to look at this event in Mark, now there's many things that I believe as I was studying this that the Lord began to deal with my heart about, that I believe is very, very important that we pay attention to. And one of the things is found in the first part of this message, and I'll tell you why. It's because Jesus Christ, Jesus again, when we look at the name Jesus, Jesus means what? Salvation. Savior. We look at the name Christ is Christos, and it is anointed one. So Jesus is Savior and Lord, and He is the anointed one. So Jesus, again, we're not going to take the time to turn back there, but all of you in this room know that was conceived within her was there by the power of the Holy Ghost. As the angel Gabriel told Joseph not to worry about taking Mary to be his wife, because that was within her was conceived of the Holy Ghost. So there was evidences that Jesus was divine. There was evidence that Jesus was exactly who Jesus said He was. So we begin to look at this, and the commentary talked about how that Mary had other children as when Jesus was born. Jesus began to grow, and Mary and Joseph, and the commentary said we really don't know what happened to Joseph. The Bible don't really tell us what happened to Joseph. There's a possibility that he died a premature death of some sort. We don't really know that. But all of his family, again, knew who Jesus was. Now, the first thing I thought about, if we're going to be fulfilled in ministry and do the things that Jesus left us as the New Testament church on this earth to do, and that's going to be the backbone of this message this evening, is that the New Testament church was given power to do ministry. And again, it behooves me, and sometimes it just frustrates me in my mind and in my heart and even in all that we endeavor to do, because we know, if we look at the scripture, what Jesus left this young group of disciples to do. He found them down by the seashore. They were fishermen. He said, come and follow me. And straightway they left their nets and they followed Him. And the New Testament, they were endued with power from on high. They were filled with the power of heaven, and heaven came down and their life was totally transformed, and ministry began in the life of the New Testament church. Now here is the thing. So many today say, well, God wrought special works, and I will read that tonight as well. But yet we look at that and we can see that so many today will say that it is not necessary for the gifts and for what Jesus done in that early church in Acts, if you will, to be continued today in the hour, because we don't need all of that. But friend of mine, if there's ever been a day and a time and an hour that we need the unction to function and the unction of the Holy Spirit in our lives today to do the work of ministry, it is the day and the hour that we're living in. So item number one here this evening is this. This is very imperative. And I know that we love each other. I know that we care for one another. You guys honor me. You respect me as your pastor. And I thank you for that. And I appreciate that. But here's the thing that happened in Jesus' life. They did not recognize the anointing. They did not recognize the call. They did not recognize the giftedness that was in Jesus Himself to do the things that Jesus did. Here's what you got to be careful with. You've got to be careful, because we can get so familiar with the way we do things, and we can get so familiar with one another that we forget about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We can forget about the anointing and the call of God that is upon our lives today. And see, when we look at this scripture, they were that right there in the presence of Jesus. They were there with Jesus. And even though they were there in Jesus, they became familiar, and the familiar familiarity, if you will cause you to miss the anointing. And the reason I said that is this: if we are too comfortable in the anointing, if we are too comfortable in the church, if we are too comfortable in the moving of the Spirit, if we just take that moving of the Spirit for granted, if you will, we can very easily miss what God is wanting to do. And by that I say this: they're saying this is just Jesus, this is just the carpenter's son. They only seen him through the eyes of the flesh. And if we don't see what we're doing here through the eyes of the Spirit, I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, we're going to miss a move of God. But if we'll recognize it by the power of the Holy Ghost, that God is in the place, my friend, we are going to see miracles and signs and wonders and healings and the different things that God said in the Word is ours. And in this we can see that oftentimes they missed again the anointing that was upon Jesus, because Jesus was anointed from the conception in the womb of Mary. We see that. Secondly, we think about a church that don't recognize the anointing as we get too used to having church. We kind of get into a church formality or a church routine, if you will. And by that, I'm just simply saying that we just have an order to function. Just we go through the routine and we go through some form of motion. And I'm just preaching what I believe God put in my heart. And this is a thing. I have to safeguard against that. I have to safeguard against that. And I don't know how other people feel, but even singing and even worshiping and even playing and everything that we do, we've got to understand that we are here under the unction of the Holy Ghost to win souls to Jesus, to see lives transformed by the power of God. And if we don't recognize that Jesus is in the house, I'm telling you, friend, we're going to miss what God wants to do. And I'm going to be honest with you, it don't always look the way that we want it to look. I mean, they let a man down through the roof to get him to Jesus. I'm sure that was very odd, but yet they knew they had to get the man to Jesus. Are you with me tonight? And then we see this as we move forward. We got to be very careful, because if we get used to church and used to the routine, watch this. This is very imperative, that formality will replace your faith. Are you with me? We will get locked into a routine, and it'll be just redundant, and it'll be the same old, same old, same old, same old, and we will never exercise our faith. Stay with me for about 40 minutes. We will never exercise our faith. I'll try to be done quicker than that, honestly. We'll never exercise our faith. The Bible says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And the Bible even says that is not of faith is sin. Watch this. Everything that we do as we follow Jesus, everything we do is by faith in the Son of God. We have to place our faith in Christ alone. Amen? And the Latin is solo Christos, if you will. We put our faith totally in Him. Then thirdly, we look at this. The impact that Jesus wants on our life could be missed if we miss the Anointed One. So there's three things right there real quick. First of all, getting used to the routine. We've got to guard against that. Formality will replace your faith if you're not really, really careful. And then the impact that Jesus wants on your life could be missed. Jesus was in the house and they did not even recognize Him. They did not even know Him. How many churches and how many times have we ever come into God's house and God has wanted to move and God has wanted to do something in the life of people, and we've missed it because we were not sensitive to the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So in this, when we look at the upper part of this message, when we think about what Jesus did there, we can see that Jesus was not able to do many works because, the Bible said, because of their unbelief. But Jesus, the Bible records in the Scripture who Jesus is. Now we're going to look at these. Philippians 2, we're going to look in verse number 6 through 10. When you look in Philippians 2, we know the Scripture. Matter of fact, fact, it was mentioned over this past weekend. Verse number 6 opens up like this. And he says this in the Word. And we're getting there. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let that sink in just a minute. Let that settle in for a minute. And I'll get into another verse in a minute. But being in the form of God, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God. God stepped into the midst of the family right there. And he was there for the miracles. He was there to heal them. And the family did not even know his anointing. Here's my point today. We have got to safeguard when we come to God's house and not take the anointing for granted. Whether it's me, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, we've got to flow in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And it's very imperative that we do that. Again, verse 7 as we go through verse 10. And made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That's self-explanatory. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Think about that. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Think about Jesus in the house, the name that's above every name, above every other name. And then he says in verse 10, the Bible says that there's no other name in Acts 12, but look at this. He said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth. It's very important. And things under the earth. Jesus in the house. Jesus on mission. Jesus doing ministry. And his own family missed him there. I don't want to miss him, folks. I don't want to miss the move of God. I don't want to miss this end time move of God. And you know what just came to my mind? We've all got to do this together. We've all got to pray together. We've all got to seek God together. Somebody says, oh, that's the preacher's job. I'm doing my job. Yes, I am. But my friend, we've all got to pray. We've all got to seek the face of God. But in this scripture, there's something very important there. Because he says in things in earth and things under the earth. So we see here the sending, and I'll piggyback on that in just a few minutes. And then we can see here again as we tie this together. When Jesus spoke these words about the Father, about his divinity. John chapter 1 and 14. We know this very well. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here this evening. But we can see here of where the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh. And when you look at that, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word was made flesh. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it was God in the manger. And we sing at Christmas, and I've sung it many times. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that one day that your baby boy will heal a blind man? So on and so forth. And I want to just submit to you this evening. I want you to think about this. That the same God that I'm talking about in the scripture in this evening is the same God that was back there then. And watch this. He's the same God that's ready to do ministry in this church even tonight. God is wanting to do a radical transformation in your life. God is wanting to do a radical transformation in my life. And I believe this with everything within me, that God is wanting to do a radical transformation in Thomasville Church of God. But God wants to do a radical transformation in the town, in the city. I believe that. When we think about this scripture, we look forward in the book of 1 John. Now this again is quite a bit of scripture, and I'm not going to take the time to read every bit of it, but you can turn to 1 John chapter 5 for just a moment. When you begin to read 1 John chapter 5, this is how he opens this this chapter up. And when he opens it, he begins to talk about that whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now watch this. By this we know that we love the children, that we love the children of God when we love one, or when we love God and keep his commandments. Now watch this. And he says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome or grievous, the Bible said. Now, stay with me for just a minute. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Again, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5, he says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth, watch this, believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Oh, my friend, could it possibly be that the very thing that's keeping us from seeing people filled with the Holy Ghost is the lack of our belief in the Word of God? Could it be possibly the reason that people are not being saved or sanctified or filled with the Spirit of God, if you will, is because we have somehow ceased to believe that Jesus is exactly who Jesus and the Word of God proclaims him to be? You see, that's what happened at Mary's house. That's what happened at Jesus' home when they went through the town and his mother was there and his brothers was there and his sisters was there. And yet the Bible reminds us that they failed to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And the thing I thought about it, if there's ever been a day and a time that you and I need to plant our feet solid on the foundation upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It is no time for the church to stick her head in the sand and run with fear, but it's time to sound the alarm. It's time to sound the trumpet that this we believe. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in a non-compromising fashion. We believe that. We stand on that. We declare that. We declare that tonight. I'm telling you, when we believe that, hell will be shaken. Hell will be shaken. You want to shake hell? You declare who Jesus Christ is over your life. You say, I'm afraid because the devil's going to get stirred up and the devil's going to come after me. Hey, the devil's already coming after you. Ooh, I ain't going to say what I thought. Yes, I am too. So I'll say it like this. Sometimes people are so full of him, they don't even recognize what he's doing to them. Hello, somebody. And we think about what the Bible says and verse number 6 and following. I'm not going to read it all, but look at this. He says, this is he that came by water and by blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Spirit of God bears witness. Jesus again says it's expedient that I go away. If I go not away, then the Holy Ghost will not come. I'll get into that in a minute. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Somebody says, explain the Trinity. I just did. That's about as good as I can get right there. And God the Father's on the throne. The Son Jesus is at the right hand of the throne, and the Holy Ghost is here with us now. That's about as good as I can do with it. Hello, somebody. But we see here, it says there are three that beareth witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, and the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which which he hath testified of his Son. Verse 10, and he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. You know he's in there, don't you? You know he lives in your heart, don't you? You know when your heart's full of Jesus. You know when your heart's not full of Jesus. You know when you're saved. You don't need a preacher to look you in the eye and do anything to you. You know right now, sitting in this room, if you're saved or you're unsaved. It's no secret to me. I mean, it ain't for me to try to determine that. But you know there's only two types of people, either saved or unsaved. Hello, somebody. And these are the ones that knows him, because his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of the living God. Now, when we look at this, he says in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. He that believeth not hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. So why did you do all that? Because there's a danger of the rejection of Jesus in our society today. Jesus even prophesied in the book of Isaiah chapter 53 that he would be rejected. He would be rejected. I wonder again in my own mind, my own heart, Brother Ken, that one of the things, that one of the reasons that we're not really seeing the miracles and the signs and the wonders and seeing people filled with the Holy Ghost and saved today is simply because we have failed not only to believe Him, but many and many places around the world today, and possibly including many churches. I can't say in churches or in many churches. I have to use it by saying possibly in many places, because I don't know that for a fact. But it's because so many today have rejected Him. Hey, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost won't stick around where He's not wanted. He won't. He's a gentleman. I've always heard preachers say that. He's a gentleman. But in this, when you look at this scripture in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, it's a prophecy about the rejection of Jesus, verses 3 through 5. And it says his rejection was also prophesied about here in the scripture. We open this in verse 3, and he was despised and he was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4, he says, surely he had bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5 says, but he was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. Now, follow me through this thing. They rejected him. If you go back in our text, hold on to that verse for a second right over here on the sideline. Put it in your side notes for a minute. And then we're going to flip back to Mark real fast and look at this. In verse number 3, they started their conversations and said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And aren't these his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Look in verse number 4 moving forward. He says, and Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. They rejected him. They rejected him. They turned him out. And my question this evening is simply this, and it's burning in my heart. How many churches are missing the power of God and the anointing of God? How many preachers today, because they don't want to talk about Jesus no more, they don't want to preach the gospel anymore, they'd rather do anything else. But our whole mission is to preach the gospel. Our whole mission is to tell somebody about the saving grace of God. And Jesus was there. And again, the Bible says this. But in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house, they missed the anointed one. And this is very imperative as we look forward in this. Very imperative. We look at this and we see this. Even though his prophecy of rejection was, His rejection was prophesied about, but his own family rejected him. And then we look at this in the scripture and we can see today in the hour that we're living in. And I hope I wrote this scripture down. I read it, but I don't know if I wrote it down. Maybe Kathy can find it. It don't matter. I know I wrote it down somewhere. Maybe I missed it. But it says this in the scripture. Because if you'll receive him, he'll make you a son. He'll make you a daughter. It says there in the word, it says, and I can't remember the reference right off the top of my head, I should, but he said, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I looked at it today and I was just, I must not have written it down. But it says in the scripture that we can become sons and daughters to as many as believed in him. All throughout the scripture, New Testament, no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Philippian jailer, Paul the apostle, Silas there. What, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. So does it matter today if you look at the link? Now follow me. If you look at the link between the supernatural. Somebody said, well, here he goes on that stuff again. If you look at the connection of the supernatural. If you look at the connection between divine healing, miracles, signs, and wonders, it's because of the belief that we have. Now, I know that there's, I mean, we talked about it earlier. Hey, I can't sometimes understand why God don't heal all people. Stan, I don't understand none of that stuff that y'all been through lately. I don't know. I have no clue. But there's this thing called eternal healing. This thing called eternal healing. With his stripes, we are healed. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, Brother Allen. I don't understand those things. But stay with me for just a little bit to get the understanding of where we're moving in this message. Because I believe that Jesus showed us a pattern for ministry. It's because they rejected him. And because they rejected him, watch this, because they rejected him. You see now why I wanted to save this to Sunday? They rejected him. Now watch this. And as a result of the rejection, look what happened. This is just so up in my heart tonight. And this is very important because your healing and your ministry, this church and this church's future could be found maybe right here in this next verse. Now pay attention. Because it says here in the scripture, it says that a prophet's not without honor save in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. They got too familiar with the anointing. They got too familiar with Jesus. Again, when you look at this, they got in a routine or formality replaced their faith. Or you look at that, how that the impact that Jesus could have had on their life, they missed it. And as a result of that, he says here in the Word, in verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work. Help me, Jesus. Jesus could not do no mighty works there because the people in their unbelief strapped his hands. Stay with me. He could there do no mighty work save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled, in verse 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching. Again, when we think about the doubt in their own life, it led to their limitation. Again, when you think about this, and I found my verse, by the way. Doubt, watch this. And this is something I want you to get in your heart. Doubt deactivates faith. The Bible reminds us that every man has been given the measure of faith. But your doubt can destroy everything that God is wanting to do in your life. Hello, somebody. Your doubt can destroy everything that God is wanting to do in your life. Now stay with me for a while. Again, the scripture verse that I quoted there, again, is John 1 and 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God. Even, that's the part I missed. He says, even to them that believe on his name. So what you believe will impact what you receive. Oh, here you go. Here you go. I'm not one of those guys that name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. But I want to tell you this. If it's in God's word, I believe that we can name it and we can claim it. Not to be taken out of context. We got to understand what Jesus was saying. And I believe as the New Testament church under the new covenant, we're walking under the new covenant. And God's no respecter of persons. And I believe what God did for them, God can do for you and God can do for me. But because of their unbelief, they limited the opportunity that was in front of them. They limited the impact that Jesus was getting ready to have on the city. And because of that, we can see at what the Bible says that we need to turn it upside down, if you will. We need to quit walking in unbelief, but we need to start walking in faith more and belief. I know this is repetitive to some degree, but it's still what God wants us to hear. Put our belief, I mean, somebody says it's the same belief to walk by faith that it is. How many of you are saved? I mean, hey, come on. You know you're saved. You know you give your heart to Jesus. You know that. There's not a devil in hell going to convince you in any other way because you were there when it happened. But yet there's other things in our lives, these distractions and all these other things that the enemy comes against us with, trying to tear us away. And he's eating away and he's chipping away at our faith. And he's wanting our belief to be turned into disbelief. Now, I don't know if anybody ever in this room has ever had to deal with disbelief, but I've dealt with it. My wife told me one time, she said, it takes just as much faith to disbelieve as it does to believe. Because you're still putting your faith in belief or unbelief. And because of their unbelief, they missed many, 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 many miracles in Nazareth where Jesus was at. So this next verse, we see here moving forward where Jesus called these disciples together. Now, this is the second part of the message. This is, we're at halftime. This is the third quarter, okay? So we can see that's what happened in the top part. And then we get into this next part, and Jesus learned a lesson, and he even repeated it to his disciples, and he just sort of bent down and wiped his feet off a little bit and said, you know, I tried. Everybody ain't going to receive you. Everybody's not going to receive me. Everybody ain't going to receive the Word of God. And there's no reason for you and I to get long-faced and sad and put on a sad countenance just because everybody don't receive us and the gospel message that we preach. I mean, I can get into that in just a minute. But what happened? The next thing we see Jesus, now watch this, this is very imperative. The next thing we see in verse number 7 is this. He says, and he called unto the 12, called the 12 together, and he began to send them forth two by two. He sent them together two by two. A lot of different things about that, a lot of different reasons for that. Encourage one another. If one gets tired, the other one's, you know, whatever the case may be. Two by two, witness, whatever. What did Jesus do? When Jesus called these 12 to his aid or to his side, He sent them forth two by two. I love this right here. And gave them power over unclean spirits. Now, preacher, you're getting way out there now. We don't even talk about unclean spirits anymore. We don't even talk about stuff like that in church anymore. We just talk about love and feeling good and keeping everything on the easy keel. We don't want to stir up no devils. Somebody said, I don't even fight the devil. You know why? Because he's got you. If you're fighting the devil, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Amen. Just keep on kicking his teeth out every day and keep on walking. That's all you can do. I fight the devil just like you do. I try not to ever let the devil get me down. The battlefield right here, you have to just keep on keeping on in the right manner. But that's another message for another time. This is very important because of what I believe that the Lord has for us today in the day and the hour that we're living in. God's not changed. Somebody says, were there more demons then than they are now? I have no idea. On Sunday, we talked about where Jesus sent them into the pigs. Sherry made a very important insight to me after we got home. She said she was reading about that. She said one of the reasons that they sent, Jesus sent the demons into the pigs was because pigs during that time were used as sacrifices to their idol gods. And Jesus abolished their idol gods. He won't compete. Either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. He's not going to compete. Another message too for another time. So let's look at this for just a minute. So we see here in verse number 7, he says, and he called unto him the 12 and sent them forth two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Think about that. Anybody, you don't have to raise your hand. But you ever dealt with an unclean spirit? I want you to understand tonight, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, that unclean spirit is a trespasser. Everybody in this room, no matter who you are, sometime in your life, you've had a temptation of some degree. And if it was anti-Christ against God, it's not the Holy Spirit, right? It's an unholy spirit. Now, somebody says, well, are different types of people welcome in our church? Sure they are. Sure they are. I mean, we're not going to put nobody in a position that's not living what they're supposed to be living and saved and, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. But you're going to have people come to your church. You can't put a sign back there at the back door and say, stay out, we don't like your type. You can't do that. You can't freak out when people start coming that don't look like you, act like you, smell like you, etc. and so forth. People in our society today are dealing with some real tough issues. You just don't know the things that I've even had to deal with today and talk to people and hear things and talk to different families and different ones that's going through things. And Brother Steve, it's an unclean spirit that's attacking these people in their minds and their hearts and their lives and their families. But Jesus gave them power over unclean spirits. That's the thing I'm trying to get to tonight. Is Jesus gave the church, he gave his disciples power. We can't reject him. We've got to embrace what he said. If you go back a little further, and we'll get back into that in a minute. If you go back into Mark chapter 16, Matthew does the same thing. But again, when you look in Mark chapter 16, the Great Commission, when Jesus was getting ready to go back to the Father, if you look back at the latter part of this, he says this in verse number 14. Again, I'll go back to that. And he said, afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. And upbraided them with their unbelief and the hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Even those that told some of his disciples that even Peter run and John run and Mary was there, the different ones, they were still ones in the crowd that did not even believe that Jesus had resurrected. Many quit following him, Matthew says, because of their unbelief and doubt in their heart. I'm telling you, this is warfare, friend. You've got to make up your mind. I've got my foot planted. I've got my feet planted solid on Jesus. Oh, I did not realize what time it was. Oh, my mercy goodness day. I'm so sorry. I needed to turn that clock off tonight. I just happened to look up there and it put me in shock. Okay, reset. It's 8:18 for those of you that need to turn the cooker off. Just cut it off tonight and eat it tomorrow. Don't even try to eat it tonight. But look at this scripture. If you look in verses 15 going forward, he says this. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 that sat at meat. Go down to 15. Is there another verse? Did I lose one? Huh? Is there another verse? And then we see here in the scripture, verse 15, look, and he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 16, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be, that's what he says. Now look, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Signs shall follow them that believe. The kids are out over there, I realize that. In my name, I've already talked about that name a while ago. No other name given among men. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Can I finish this Sunday? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. Look at this. When you look at this in the scripture, he says, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Look in 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, the authority of his name. Not your name. Not my name. You can shout my name to the devil all day long and he'll grin from ear to ear. But you tell them about the name of Jesus and you watch their eyes dilate. You say, really? Really? I've done it. You've done it. Look at somebody that's all strung out or whatever the case may be and you start talking about Jesus. Don't bring that religious stuff here on top of me. It's the only thing that's going to help you. That in the name of Jesus, you might be able to cast out devils possibly if everything's right in the church and the music's right and the preacher's preaching right. No. I looked this word and I looked at it in other different places, Brother Don. He says, shall. Several times down through there, shall, 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 shall. And Jesus couldn't do it, Brother West, because of their unbelief and the hardness of their heart. I'm going to have to stop. I'm telling you, I could be here another hour. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to wish Joe a happy birthday. God bless you. I love you. Happy birthday. See you tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Darlene's going to surgery tomorrow. We prayed for her earlier. But I want you to ponder on this for a few days. The ministry of Jesus, and he handed the baton to the early church. Where are we at? Your family members and my family members. And people that you know and people that I know. Just bound. Bound. Now I got to say this before I move on and try to find a landing spot. Don't think just because everybody dresses up on Sunday morning and comes to church that everything is okay in their life. If they're not. And don't think I preach the things that I preach just because I want to preach it. There's a devil on the loose. I'm not glorifying the devil. I'm not trying to edify the devil. But I'm so sick and tired of watching families go through things and people go through things, that it's time for you and I, the church, to stand in the authority that Jesus delivered unto the church. Oh, I'm not done. There's a lot of other stuff I've studied for this. I think I will. Because we've got to get back to the place that we're the church. We're the church that Jesus left. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell possibly could prevail against it ever. No, that's not what he says. There's the word shall. Shall not prevail. Make headway. Shall not. Stand with me. I got to quit. And he says here, and he says, and they, in my name they shall cast out devils. In my name, in the authority of the name of Jesus. I'm going to quit. I'm going to stop right there. I've got to. For those that's watching online, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. I almost said something, but I guess I will say it since I thought it. If you've got a devil-possessed friend, bring them Sunday. You say, oh, you're going to get in trouble now. Get in all that devil stuff. Can't help it. It's in the Word. And they're all around us. Aren't you glad Jesus said you're in the world, but you're not of the world? Aren't you glad you're a part of the family of God? Amen. Cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Go on real quick, Kathy. 18. And he says here in the Word of God, and they shall take up serpents. That don't mean put a rattlesnake in a box. That's again symbolic of evil spirits and Satan. Satan was always, even in the garden, the symbol. Somebody said, what would you do if somebody throwed a snake on you? I'd probably pick it up and run them down, throw it on them. If it was the moment, I probably would do that. I probably would. I don't know what I'd do. I would dance up and down, scream and holler like a, whoa, I'll follow you. I wouldn't do all that. I just, who cares? They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, notice the word if. That don't mean get you a bottle of strychnine and get up on stage and act like a fool just trying to prove something. There's a place over here on Main Street where people like that end up called J.C. Green's. I've seen it over and over and over. They've done that stuff in Haywood County. The sheriff got bit. The very guy that got the sheriff bit ended up back down in Tennessee not long after that, or Kentucky somewhere. He's in his grave right now. The very man that propagated and brought it through Haywood County when I was there, a young preacher. Did you go? No. I got better sense of stuff like that. The Bible says you ain't supposed to tempt the Lord thy God. They can do all that hogwash all day long. Yes, we're Pentecostal, but you don't do stuff like that. I don't do stuff like that. You can go if you want to. I ain't going with you. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they possibly could, maybe, shall. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm done. Here in a minute. I have a hard time with that sometimes. Don't you? They shall. I think we shall cast out devils. I think people, if they got a devil in them and they come to church, I think they should wiggle and squirm until they get under conviction and come to the altar and pray. Get saved. Get their heart full of God. Ain't there one more verse? I think. So then after that, the Lord had spoken unto them. He was received up into heaven, set on the right hand of God. Folks, Jesus showed us the model for ministry in these scriptures. I don't know that I've preached this I don't know how long it's been, but it stirred me up. We can sit here and just, well, the rapture's coming. Yes, it is. It is. We believe that. But until he comes, we occupy. Father, I love you, Lord, and I just shared my heart with everything I shared tonight, God. Lord, I just pray it made sense. I just pray, God, it spoke to us. Lord, I know that tonight, God, that I've been in your hands today, Father. And Lord, I just pray, God, that now that you'd take this word and let us ponder it for the next several days on our heart. And Lord, let us understand that greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Let us understand tonight that the power of God is real. And Father, let us proclaim Jesus Christ to a lost and to a dying world. Father, would you fill us with the Holy Ghost? Lord, would you fill us with your power? Would you fill us with your anointing? That God, that we could be your hands on earth and your feet on earth. That God, that even in the things that I mentioned tonight, that God, that we could see people healed and saved and forgiven and set free. And demons cast out and people delivered from demonic strongholds. And Father, I pray, God, this in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all the people of God said, amen. Thank you for indulging me this evening. I love you. I don't mean to be so long-winded. It's just in my heart. And thank you for allowing it to be. Amen. God bless you as you go.